Good morning. Grace and peace our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you. Welcome to worship services of Grace United Methodist Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. We're glad you're here. When you came in this morning, you should have found a red attendance pad at the interview pew. Will you please take that and give us a record of your attendance and make sure that it makes it down to the end of the row and send it back towards the center. And if you see a name on there you don't recognize, you can greet that person after the service. There are a number of things going on in the life of the church this week. I'm going to try to bring a few of those out to your attention. If I forget something that's part of one of your ministries and you'd like to make sure that makes it on the webcast, just throw something at me, raise a hand, and we'll make sure that everybody gets to hear what you need to say. Today, after the 11 o'clock service, on the back of your bulletin, you'll see where everyone's invited to a wedding shower in honor of Christine Shelton. I know the ladies have been setting up all morning for that. Please feel free to come, even if you didn't bring anything. This is honoring Brian and Christine as they get ready to begin their married life. So come on out and celebrate with us as a Grace and as our Grace Fellowship and members of our fellowship begin this journey of their life. You'll also see in your bulletin the United Methodist Women Book Group meeting Saturday, January 25th. This is a breakfast meeting, so bring your favorite breakfast dish. They'll be talking about the UMW reading program, which is composed of five categories of books to be read. There's a detailed announcement for this in your bulletin. This is 9 o'clock next Saturday morning. We'll also be having next Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, the church council will be meeting for their annual planning conference. And if you're on, if you're in UMW and you can come and eat there. I'm sure we'll have lunch too. You can eat all your meals. It's Saturday, next Saturday at Grace. We'll have plenty of food here. Are there any other announcements that need to be made this morning? Are we celebrating any birthdays this week? At the first service, yes. Going to be 10 years old. What you got, Shannon? 2 years old. At the first service, Rich and Yvette were celebrating their 56th wedding anniversary. And Terry turned 39 again. But you notice she's staying out of the here. So yes, Mary. And what Mary's talking about is actually in the bulletin. You can get all the details. But on March 7th, all women of the church are invited to this. There is a $15 fee for lunch. But if you want to get the details, it's on like the third or fourth page of your bulletin. And as Mary said, all women are invited. Not, you don't have to be participating in UMW. Just all women of the church are invited to that meeting. And we'll make sure that we highlight that again next week, Mary, so we can make sure that people know that that's going on. Do we have any first-time visitors with us this morning? This is the first time you've been worshiped with us at Grace. We have one more, Mary.
I'm sorry,
that's okay.
My 70th birthday is Wednesday.
Whoa. we do have a... And Terry made it, and she thought we'd be done by the time she got here. Well, let's sing happy birthday. God bless you. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirits for worship. Thank you.
Please turn with me in your bulletin and join as we join our voices together for our call to worship. To the church, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all in every place who call on the name of our Lord. In every way you have been enriched in Christ, in speech and knowledge of every kind, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift.
God is faithful, by whom we are called into the fellowship of His Son.
Amen.
Those who are able, please stand and join with me in singing hymn number 568, Christ for the World We Sing.
At this point, we invite the children to come down front and join me for a children's sermon. Got a few friends coming from the nursery, so we'll wait on them too. Probably. Come on down. All right. Oh, well, good morning. All right. Good job. I believe most of y'all are awake. That's good news. So let me ask you a question. Do any of y'all have a teacher? Do you go to a school where you have a teacher? Anybody have that? You do? Yeah? You've got one? How about y'all up there? Do y'all go to school somewhere where you have a teacher? Have you had that yet? Yeah? Yeah, everybody's got that before? So let me ask you a question. So you go to school and you get to your class. Do you just stay in your classroom the whole time with your teacher? Your teacher's there, right? Teacher's in the classroom. You go outside and play. So does everybody do that? Does everybody go outside and play? You get to do that? Yeah? You get to go outside and play. Okay, so you go outside to play, and what do? Does your teacher just say, okay, go outside and play, and just push you out the door? Is that what happens? No? What happens? Do you stand in a line? And do you follow somebody? You follow the teacher outside down the hall and to the playground or to the outside place. Does everybody do that? You follow your teacher to wherever you're going? Does that happen? Yeah. Okay, so you follow your teacher. Did you know that in our scripture passage today, there are two disciples? It's Jesus' first two disciples according to the Gospel of John, to that particular story, right? Yep, the Gospel of John, is John's version of the story, right? So there's two disciples, and they call Jesus their teacher. And they decide to follow him, and not just follow him, they stay with Jesus. They want to learn so much from Jesus that they just stay with him so that they can learn as much as possible. Now, they were grown adults, and they needed to learn more, they realized, and so they decided to become his. Do you know what you call somebody in the Bible who wants to learn from a teacher? Do you know what you call it? What? A disciple. That's exactly right. Disciples always had a teacher who was teaching them how to be better, which is Jesus. And so we are all disciples, and we have a teacher named Jesus. And so we follow Jesus. And not only do we just follow Jesus in line, we don't just go wherever we do that, but we're not just trying to follow Jesus, we're trying to stay with Jesus. To remain with Jesus, to be with Jesus all the time. Do you think y'all can do that? I know you can do it because you do it at school. You follow your teacher there. And if you can follow your teacher at school, you can follow Jesus as your teacher in life. If you follow Jesus, you're following God. That is exactly right. That's right. That's right. That is exactly right. All right. Will y'all pray with us? Pray with me today, okay? Hands together, bow your heads, and repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for our teacher, Jesus. Help us to learn from him. Amen. All right, thank you for coming down. You can head back to the nursery or back to your seats. This morning, as we prepare our hearts to go to God in prayer, first I want to ask, are there any unspoken prayer requests? If you have an unspoken prayer request, please raise your hands unless indicated that way. Thank you. As we enter the time of spoken prayer requests, we do want to take a moment in today's service to remember the life and witness of Martin Luther King Jr. on this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. For his faithfulness to the gospel and his task in calling America to be better during his time with us, and for his continuing legacy, we give thanks to the Lord this day. We also want to be in prayer this day for Miss Sandra Bell. Miss Sandra had to be hospitalized last week. She is home and recovering now, but we want to continue to lift her in prayer for continued recovery fully from her illness. We also want to be in prayer for Tom Herring. Rich and Yvette were back at church this morning, but Tom now has potentially what they've had. So we want to be in prayer for Tom as that he doesn't have what they had for 2 weeks and gets over it a little more quickly. From the first service, we want to lift a couple named Matt and Anna who are caring for Anna's uncle who has terminal cancer, and also for Diane who is struggling with cancer, fighting cancer at this time. We also want to be in prayer for the Flynn family. Miss Kathy Murphy lifted that family in prayer this morning. There was a young man who took his life that was one of her students, and that he was a member of the Flynn family. So we want to be in prayer for them this morning. Are there other prayer concerns that you all would lift today? Yes. Nora. Okay. So for Nora and her family, is they're expecting their second child? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for Christ UMC in Myrtle Beach, as they await a new appointment of a new clergy person following the departure from the denomination of their pastor. Yes? Marlon's parents and for Julia. Yeah. Any others this morning? I hadn't turned around yet. Y'all good? Seeing no others, let's go to God in prayer this morning. Heavenly Almighty God, you have drawn us into your presence this day, calling to us to come and experience your grace and your mercy once again as we join our voices in song, as we lift our hearts in prayer, as we tune our ears to hear your word and to know your call on our life. We thank you for bringing us here today to be a part of your worship, to be inspired and renewed and refreshed for the work of mission and ministry. We thank you and praise you. God, we ask that you would reveal your Holy Spirit to those that we have named this morning, to those that we have lifted who are on our hearts, to those that have gone unnamed, to all those who are sick and suffering, who are weary and worn down. We ask that you would reveal your Holy Spirit, that they would know you to be a source of comfort and rest, of peace, of strength, and of healing. And God, we ask that you would reveal your Holy Spirit in the world, that we would see the places where you're calling us to work, that you would reveal your Holy Spirit in our relationships, in our neighborhoods, in the places where we go, and with the people to whom we talk and interact. We ask that you would show us how you're calling us to be your grace, to be your love made manifest in the world, to be your presence for others, that they might know the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that you have called us to live and to proclaim. God, we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Lamb of God, your Son, who taught us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
Abel, please stand and join with me in singing hymn number 2113, Lamb of God. Thank you. Please remain standing for our gospel lesson.
Today I'll be reading from John 1, verses 29 through 39, the New Revised Standard Version, the Lamb of God. The next day he saw Jesus come toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he who I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The first disciples of Jesus. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him say this, that they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translates means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. So with our first image that's going to come up on the screen here in just a second, I'll do a little bit of confession. I've been watching rewatching The Office again, you know, the sitcom that was went off a little while ago. And in the show, I just watched the episode recently where Michael Scott says this quote that's going to go up on the screen, and he's talking about an inside joke, and he says, you know, I love inside jokes. I hope to be a part of one someday. And that came to my mind for this this sermon, that particular line, that particular sentiment, because much like an inside joke, how could he know he wants to be a part of one if he's never been a part of one before? If you've never had an experience, if you've never had a particular kind of experience, you can't testify to it. You can't bear witness to it. You can't give an accounting of what's happened there. Right? A witness called in a court bears witness. They testify to what they have seen or heard. Or if they're an expert witness, they testify to what they know because of their expertise. They testify from their experience, either what they've seen or heard or what they know to be true in the ways that they can add to or detract from the case depending on how they are called. So you can't testify to something that you have not experienced before. Now I bring this up because in our passage this morning, John declares who Jesus is. That's this passage that we're in. John is declaring who Jesus is because of what he witnessed at Jesus' baptism. It's this great picture of what happened immediately following Jesus' baptism, and we don't get it in any of the other gospel accounts. John is the only one who's telling us this story, that after Jesus was baptized, the next day, John sees Jesus walking along, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He starts telling everybody he can get a hold of, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He's testifying, "This is the one that God told me was coming, the one that was coming to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This is the one on whom the Spirit remained, the heavens opened." He tells about what he experienced with Jesus in the baptismal waters. He's telling them about this new thing that has happened to him with God, where the Holy Spirit descended and remained with Jesus like a dove, and the Father of the heavens, God the Father, spoke out and said, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." John is testifying to what he has seen and heard and felt with Jesus in the waters of baptism. You see, John up until this point had been preaching. He'd been teaching. He'd been preaching and witnessing as to the power of repentance, of turning your life, of making your path straight. He had a pretty good message down because he had thousands coming out to see him at the river in this washout. He's got thousands of people coming to see him and be baptized, responding to his message. He's a pretty good preacher. And at this point in time, his message changes because of what he's experienced. His testimony changes because now it's not just one is coming, it's one is here. "Look, the Lamb of God." His testimony changes because you and I, just like John, we all have to testify from our total experience with God. Once John has had this new revelation, once John has had this new experience with God, once John knows that something new is happening, once John knows that something new is going on, he can't help but change his message. He's testifying from his total experience with God. He doesn't just keep on preaching repentance because one is coming. Now it's, no, he's here. He's here. "Behold, the Lamb of God," John says. And he goes on and he tells us that he knows that it was Jesus. He knows that it's the Lamb of God. He knows it's the Son of God because the Holy Spirit descended and remained with Jesus. The Holy Spirit descended and remained with Jesus. That's John's testimony. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and go. The Holy Spirit doesn't come down as a dove and just fly away. No. The Holy Spirit comes down and it remains with Jesus. It dwells with Jesus. Now remember that just a little while before this, the gospel writer John has told us that the Word became flesh and remained with us. The Word became flesh and remained with us, and now this same one, the Word, the light of the world, is being baptized, and the Holy Spirit comes and remains with him. It's an important piece. The Holy Spirit is remaining with Jesus. Jesus, the one, the Son, who remains with us. Now, John is relaying all of this new testimony, this new message that he has, and the power of John's testimony. We know that he's brought people to him, but the power of this new testimony leads two of his disciples, two of his closest followers, two of the people who have decided to attach themselves to John, to learn everything he had to say about this coming Messiah, to learn everything he had to say about repentance. Two of these ones who have been with him, learning from him, hear it and leave him to follow Jesus. I don't know how many disciples John had, but, you know, it gives me great joy to think that two was good enough. He got two to go. John undoubtedly is a better preacher than I was, and so the fact that he got two to go and that seems to be good enough is encouraging to me. And not only that, but also because John, as good as he was drawing all these crowds to him for repentance and for baptism, as good as he was doing all this, he had to preach the message twice before he got two of them to go. He didn't get them on the first time. That's real encouraging to me. Means you may hear sermons again. If you do, I'll say, well, it took John preaching it twice to get you, so you may hear it a third time, because I'm just not that good. He had to tell them twice, which in all seriousness makes me wonder. It makes me wonder if you and I are not persistent enough in our witness and testimony. John preached it twice. Behold the Lamb of God, one day. Next day, behold the Lamb of God. He was persistent and consistent in his testimony. He didn't change up the language. He didn't try to change the packaging. He didn't try to dress it up to get people to pay attention this time. He preached the same thing twice. Behold the Lamb of God. And on that second time, two of those disciples went and they followed Jesus. You see, we're not persistent enough. We give up too early. We preach it once and we go, oh, well, or we tell somebody once, or we talk to somebody once, or we make an invitation one time, or we post something on our Facebook once, and if it doesn't get enough interaction, we just don't ever do anything ever again. Well, oh, well, that didn't work. We tried that one time. It didn't work. John the Baptist had to do it twice. How many times do you think that means we have to do it? Over and over again with our persistent, consistent message of the gospel. Behold the Lamb of God, the good news, the Son of God, come to save you and me and the entire world. How many times do you think we have to say it? How many times do you think we have to preach it? If John the Baptist had to do it twice, how many times do we have to do it? And remember, you can't tell somebody about something you haven't experienced. So you got to dig deep into your own experience, not just the story that's on the pages of Scripture, but the ways that that story has been written into your life, the ways that that story continues to play itself out in your everyday interaction, the ways that that story has impacted you, how it has strangely warmed your soul, to use John Wesley's terms, but how it has stirred your soul, how it's made you want to know more about the grace and love and mercy of Jesus Christ. That's what we're drawing into. That's what we're pulling into. That's our witness, our testimony as to the power and presence of Jesus Christ. You see, when we are consistent and persistent with our witness to Jesus, to what we have experienced of God who dwells with us through the power of the Holy Spirit, others will hear us and change the direction of their life. The disciples of John the Baptist changed direction. They stopped following John and they started following Jesus. That's what we're trying to do. Get people to follow Jesus. And so these disciples begin to follow Jesus. They pick up, they stop. They stop following John. They hear him say it again. Behold the Lamb of God. And they go, okay, that's the one. Let's go. They follow Jesus. Now they don't tell Jesus they're following him. It's an interesting piece. They don't tell Jesus they're following him. They're just following behind. How nervous would you be if you're walking along? Why are you following me? Right? That's what happens to Jesus. That's what happens. He's like, why are you following me? He turns around and he goes, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? And the disciples, hearing him ask, what are you looking for? They ask him a question, which is normally what Jesus does to people, but the disciples do it to Jesus. What are you looking for, Jesus? Or, what are you looking for, Jesus says. And they say, Rabbi, teacher, where are you staying? Where are you staying? By naming him as rabbi, they're attaching themselves to him as his disciples. We're going where you're going. We're following you. Where are you staying? The disciples ask. You see, if our witness, if our testimony to the experience we've had with Jesus Christ is going to be persistent and consistent, we have to find a way to stay where Jesus stays, to remain with Jesus. We have to find a way to be where Jesus is all the time. One of the things that we know now about eyewitness testimony is that it's wildly unreliable. That we as human beings don't do a great job of telling people about something that we've only seen one time or something we've only heard once. We do a terrible job as human beings of telling people about something we've only seen or heard one time. So if we're going to be a credible witness, if we're going to give authentic and good testimony to the power and presence of Jesus Christ, we got to find a way to remain in his presence, to stay where Jesus stays, to remain with him, to be with him, to follow him. Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of times what we want to think is that Jesus has gotten himself here somehow to church and planted himself right here. I'm not telling y'all to stay here. Jesus may be here among us. He promises to be here among us and with us as the body of Christ in Grace United Methodist Church. He promises to be with us wherever we have gathered. But here's the thing. Jesus never stays anywhere very long. Now, he's everywhere all the time. He's wherever we are gathered. But Jesus is always going somewhere. We know that from the gospel account. He's always on the way somewhere new, some new town, some new neighbor, some new person that hasn't heard yet. Jesus is always on the way. So we got to find a way to come here and get refreshed and renewed to see Jesus again, to say, hey, Jesus, we're following you. And when he says, what are you looking for? To say, where are you staying? Where are you staying? His answer to the disciples to where are you staying is come and see. Come and see where I am. I'm not right here where you met me. I'm not staying right here where you met me. I'll be here, but I'm going somewhere. I'm staying somewhere. And I'm going to stay somewhere different the next day, and somewhere different the next day, and somewhere different the next day. Where are you staying? Come and see. Come and see in the scriptures open. Come and see in prayer. Come and see in worship. Come and see in service. Come and see in mission. Come and see in evangelism. Come and see in your neighbors, in your family members, in pouring out in the least, the last, and the lost among us, come and see where Jesus is staying. That's our invitation. That's what we're trying to do, to come and see, and then to do as these first two disciples do. When he says, come and see, the last thing we hear is that they remain with him. I told you that word remain is important. Jesus dwells with us. He remains with us as the Word. The Holy Spirit remains with him. And now the disciples remain with Jesus. We dwell together in the family and living experience of God when we attach ourselves to Christ and we stay with him wherever he is staying, wherever we find him, wherever he's breaking in, wherever he's going, we remain with him. And that takes a lot of prayer and a lot of discernment, and it's one of those, oh, well, where is it, Rhett? Jesus is breaking in all over the place. It's up to us to have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that are ready to follow wherever that might be. And it's going to be different for each one of us, and then it's going to be something for us as a church. That's how this discipleship thing works. Disciples have a teacher that we follow, that we learn from. And ours is Jesus. And Jesus has something for each and every one of us to learn and something for us to learn as Grace United Methodist Church as we move forward. Of that, I am certain. We got to find a way to remain with Jesus always. To stay where Jesus stays. That is my prayer for us. That we would find a way to remain with Jesus and to tell everybody about it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you would, please stand and join with me as we join our hearts and voices together in proclaiming the Apostles' Creed. It's number 881 in the hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we have the opportunity to give back to God out of all that God has so graciously given to us through our tithes and our offerings. good and generous God, when John sees Jesus and announces, "Behold, the Lamb of God," we are reminded that God no longer requires an offering as was done in the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus was the offering for our redemption. Our salvation no longer rests on an offering of animals or even money, but God is pleased when we make our whole lives the offering. Bless more than these tithes and offerings. Bless the offerings of our lives to Christ. In that name we trust, and in that name we pray. Amen.
Please join with me in singing hymn number 156, "I Love to Tell the Story."
Jesus and His love, I
Our mission at Grace is?
To know Jesus and to make him known to others.
Go therefore in the world knowing Jesus. Lean into your knowledge of Christ. Lean into your experience with Jesus Christ. The ways that he's poured grace and love and mercy into your life. The ways that he has offered you salvation and redemption. Lean into your experience and testimony of the risen God and share it with other people. Tell others so that they might know him as well. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.